We'd like to tell each other you need an attitude adjustment, but there is something when the Holy Spirit tells you you need an attitude adjustment, and that's a checkup. That's like in hockey. You get checked in hockey, you're going to feel it. And when the Holy Spirit gives you a check, you're going to feel it. And because I'm telling you, we don't serve a God who's dead. We serve a God who's alive. He's more alive than you and I are today. He's more alive than you were when the day you were first born. He was, and always will be. We are just being blessed and have the fullness of God's grace to be a part of something so awesome. And we cannot do any of it without His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're seeing that that name is being pushed out of the church and everything else is being pushed into the church. And so we're struggling in churches today to keep it at Jesus, with the name of Jesus. So we need to make sure our name is not about New Life. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it is about Jesus. And when you make it about Jesus, then He makes it about you a little bit. And so it needs to be in the right specific order. And we don't need to go, we don't need to fill it up with all kinds of other things. But we need to fill it up with the name of Jesus Christ. We need to fill it up with the Holy Spirit. You can't make it happen. There's things that only God can do. But there are things that we need to do. And He watches our hearts. He watches our attitude. He watches us in our spirit through His Spirit. As the Bible says that He came down, He said, let us go down and see what's going on in the Tower in the Tower of Babel. See what the people were doing. He came down with Abraham. He says, we're going to go down and we're going to see what's going on down over here in Sodom and Gomorrah. God's always checking people out. He saw Nineveh going. He saw Nineveh was a mess, and He sent a man, Jonah, to go over there and check it out. And so here it is. If He's checking New Life out today, He's checking not what New Life is always doing, but He's checking your attitude and He's checking your spirit to make sure it's right. Listen, if you said three or four things that were negative this morning, your attitude isn't right. Your attitude needs to be of that of the same as Jesus Christ. The Bible says to fix our eyes on Jesus and the things that are Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 4, and I might just be a little bit more Baptist today than what I've been normally, but it's okay, right? It's okay, right? Because we need a wake-up call a little bit this morning. We need a wake-up call a little bit this morning, especially if you've been saved for a long time. Don't relax in it. Rejoice in it. And let that rejoice be and that joy be there every day. Every day. And we need to grow up, as we talked about. We need to continue to grow up in our walk with Jesus. And what happens is we find out there are a few disciples that are sharing the gospel. And there were some individuals that did not like it. And what happened is somebody got healed. Somebody got healed. You know what happens if somebody gets healed in church today? We don't believe it. These guys saw it happen. It wasn't Jesus who did it. Jesus did it through them. But it wasn't what these guys did. It was Peter and John. They're getting ready to get arrested because they did some things. And we see that they did this this healing thing. And these Sadducees guys were hanging around. And the high priest, that guy, you know that same guy, that high priest guy? This is the same high priest who got Jesus arrested. And they talk him in here. And Jesus is... This is the same high priest the night that Jesus was arrested that was slamming on Jesus. It's the same guy. He says, I know about this. I know about this stuff. And so they end up, these guys end up, and the temple police come and all that stuff. And the Sadducees. Now, there's a problem with the Sadducees. Not only did they not believe in Jesus, they didn't believe in that. They believed in God, and they believed in the Old Testament. They believed in that. But they didn't believe in demons and angels, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the resurrection, okay? So these guys just, they were there. And so they saw this miracle happen and we just can't have that. We cannot have that. And so what happens is they come up there and they want to confirm. Why are you doing all this stuff? Why are you doing this stuff? Have you ever had that happen? Why are you doing this stuff? Why are you doing that? And so what we see is there's something here. They question him and he says, by what power? Okay, by what power? We see that in verse 7. It says, after they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked them and they questioned them. Now, I want to tell you right now that people are going to question you about your beliefs. They're going to question you about your church. They're going to question you about a lot of things. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared. The Holy Spirit will give you... Listen, if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, He will give you words to speak if you don't speak quickly as out of the flesh, out of emotions, and out of anger. But if you be patient and you're praying as they're speaking to you, you'll be able to respond to them. But they said, by what power or in what name have you done this? Listen, you need to know by what power and what name we are doing our stuff and our ministries in. You need to know by what power that we're doing all that we're doing here, and why you pray when you go eat, why you do that. Why do I keep jumping on praying and eating? Because listen, I don't like to eat out a lot, but I end up doing that several times. And I look around, always looking, and for all these people who claim to be Christians can't do the basic thing and not be ashamed of the gospel, the name of Jesus Christ, and not be able to say his name in public, worried about what everybody's going to do and how everybody's going to judge them as they sit there and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. It is such a simple task, but we are afraid to do it. And so they said, why, what name? Because when you are doing what God wants you to do, people are going to challenge you. As we said last week, Satan is going lurking, and he's going to find you and your name, and he's going to come up and challenge you. By what authority are you doing what you're doing? And they asked him that, and they said, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't a Pentecostal role. You just filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you had a moment filled with the Holy Spirit? It should be every day. It should be every day when you're making decisions. Don't make them on your own. Pray about it. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, rulers of the people, of rulers and the people and the elders. He gives them some respect there. But he says, if we are being examined today about a good deed, it's that miracle, to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, because that's who them guys were, they were a part of it, when they arrested him, had him arrested, it was those same boys that went into the garden and had Jesus arrested. It's some same guys. And it says, whom God raised from the dead. Now he's starting to get into that. By him, this man is standing here before, and he's standing healthy. When you use the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, it's not afraid to say the name Jesus Christ. It's not afraid to say the name of God. It's not afraid to say the things that are scriptural. The Holy Spirit comes out and comes out alive, and it says, it is by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. He wants to put it in there. It is the Nazarene, that because they knew who he was. It is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who changes situations. It is Jesus Christ who changes lives. It is Jesus Christ who does and has the healing that we need. More of us are walking around sick than we should be. But he says, this Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Here it is. They saw the healing, but they denied it. They seen how they did it, and they denied it. Here it is. People today are still rejecting Jesus in the same way. People come into a church, they hear a message. People see it, people testify outside the church walls. They hear it. Some of them are blessed to see something very amazingly and awesome from God, and they still turn around and they say, and I want to see more, I want to see more. But it is not about what you see in the flesh. It's how you can see in the spiritual. Is that I'm a lost man. I'm a man that needs hope. But many people reject the name of Jesus Christ. They reject it. They reject it. Or we sugarcoat it. We say, well, I believe in God. That's great. But God says, if you don't come through Jesus Christ, you don't get it. Right. Salvation is not yours. Salvation is not yours. We'll get to that. So he says, here it is. There it is. Now he says this. Do you know that by the name of Jesus Christ, it is through Jesus Christ that you're saved? He says, there is salvation in no one else. I mean, he is putting it on. There's no salvation, no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. The scripture says we must be saved by Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ. And the blood that he sheds, the washing away, and the washing of our sins, all of that. Listen, it is through Jesus Christ that you are saved. It is through Jesus Christ that you are sanctified, set apart. It is through Jesus Christ that you can live righteous, which is Christ-like living. It is Jesus Christ where your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is through Jesus Christ that you can say, I'm going to see my daddy again. It is through Jesus Christ where you can say, I'm going to see my God-believing, Jesus-believing grandmother again. It is through Jesus Christ that gives you the key to be able to do everything and anything through Christ that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is only through Jesus Christ that you can get that frown and turn it upside down. It is only through Jesus Christ that you can say, I am not healed today because Jesus is allowing me to have it, but that I use the non-healing part to lift up His name. You can only understand that through having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't about what church you pick. It's about what that church does. What that church does with the name of Jesus Christ. It's what that church does with what God's given to them through Jesus Christ. God is not honored by numbers of people. God is not honored by the money that you put in. God is honored by how you respect His name, how you use His name in authority to lift up others, to pray for others, and how you use that power in the right way, in the godly way, not about selfish things. Jesus Christ, that name is powerful. The Bible says faith can move mountains. Jesus Christ saves people that are dying and going to hell. It is through Jesus Christ that lives are totally changed. And it's just totally amazing what it does. But people are still trying to find out another way to get it right. They're still trying to deny Jesus and do it a different way because it seems easier. It feels better. It looks better. It's more acceptable to the world. And anything is better than Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, Scripture says everything is not better. The only thing that is good is the name of Jesus Christ. The only name that saves is the name of Jesus Christ. You can't just believe in God. God says, that's not going to be it. I gave all authority on heaven and on earth. And He gave it to Jesus Christ, His Son, because He stayed obedient and came down here and was obedient, lived a perfect life and died on the cross, not because He just wanted to, but because He saw you and I going to hell. And He says, I love people. And you see the compassion and the miracles, but it's what He did on the cross. All the other things were teachings and amazing things and examples on how we are to live. But it was what He did on the cross that you couldn't do, that I couldn't do. The only one that can do it, and the only one they could find, heaven, above heaven, everywhere, was one, and His name was Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. His blood washes away my sin. His blood washes away your sin. And if you don't do it through Him and His washing, this sin is still on your, it's still on you. And when you stand before God, you will be found guilty. 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 But through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. Praise God for that. We have forgiveness, and that forgiveness sets us free. It's experiencing the Scripture. And you shall be set free. Praise God. I'm set free. I am set free. By how? Through the name of Jesus Christ. And when you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, He loves you where you're at, but He won't leave you there. He'll start working in your life with the Holy Spirit because you can't get it done on your own. He puts His Spirit in there, God's Spirit inside of you, the Counselor, it is the Spirit of God, the Comforter. He'll come in there and He will counsel you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will convict you when you know you're getting ready to do wrong. He will help you through times of temptation. He will get you through those things and your life will begin to change. This is how you know. Are you a Christian? Is your life changing? Are you who you used to be? If you are still living the way you used to be, you need to look in the mirror and you need to ask God. Don't ask yourself, am I saved? You need to be speaking to God. Am I saved? That is the biggest risk-taking moment in everyone's life. That false peace. Now, I'm saved because I go to church. I'm saved because I give. I'm saved because I might sing. I'm saved because I believe in God. Listen, you ain't saved unless you go through the door, and that is the door of Jesus Christ. And you can't forget that salvation. It is priceless. It's priceless. It has changed my life. It has changed my family. It has changed my family that I have, immediate family, some of my extended family, the family I grew up. Jesus rocked our world. Praise God that He did. Because without Him, I would be messing it all up. And I will tell you this, I would probably not be married today without Jesus Christ. 50% of men today anyway, 50%, I'm not going to get into that. There's too much divorce in the church today. Jesus Christ is more important to you than you would ever think. We're going to know when we get to heaven how important it was. Woo! We don't want to go up there, but the Bible says that some people will get, listen, the Bible says that some people, all the works they did can be burned up. That means everything you did was all selfish. But that didn't get you into heaven. That person may have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and be careful how you judge. But the Bible says that that person will enter into heaven, but by the skin of his teeth. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is the only way that he got in. Because that's the only way you get in. That's the only way that you can stand before God. Your works may be burned up, but your sins have been forgiven. And these people sit there and looked at this, and they wanted to arrest him. And so they sit there and they testify. There is no side. There is salvation and no one else. And this was right up in their alley. Right? They didn't like that. And they said, there's no salvation, no other name under heaven given to people. And it says, and we must be saved by it. And people are looking for all kinds of other ways. All kinds of other ways. They'll use every other name but Jesus. And all those other names belong to Lucifer. And we know the story how it ends for Lucifer. That whole thing is a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship. So they observe the boldness of Peter and John. They watch them. Man, these guys are on fire. These guys are not afraid. These guys are scaring us. Remember, it's not really them. They just filled with the Holy Spirit. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and they realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw a man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response to that. And after they had ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves. You love it when people want to talk about you behind your back, tell you what you're going to do? That's what they were doing. And they were saying, what should we do with these men? For now be a sign evident to all those who live in Jerusalem have been done through them. And we cannot deny it. We cannot deny that this one guy who's over 40 years old got healed. We can't deny it. What are we going to do with him? However, so this does not spread. So they didn't care. They were just caring about the temple, the church. They were caring about their power. They were caring about the crowd numbers and the money that was coming in. So this does not spread among the people. They didn't want this to spread. Let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you do in this world. The world doesn't care. The world doesn't care if you are you go out and rape people. They'll put you behind bars. They don't care. The world doesn't care if you go out and you murder someone. The world doesn't care how you live. It doesn't care because all things in the world are accepted somewhere. But if you use the name of Jesus Christ in what you do, all heads will turn toward you and begin to attack you. And it's not because who you say you are, it's who you're using, and that name is Jesus Christ. And he says, so they ordered them not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus. At all. And I want to tell you what's happening here is Satan is using a trick. This is spiritual warfare. What he's doing is he's trying to shut down the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the only hope that the world has is in Jesus Christ. So Satan is trying to pull the only hope away, and it's working through Peter and John, the disciples. Let me get this, shut this down. If I shut it down, then I don't care how everybody else lives, because there's no hope, there's no redemption, there's no salvation, there's no sanctification, none of that stuff, there's no righteousness in any of that. But when they use the name of Jesus Christ, it is the hope for the world. And he doesn't want the hope in the world to come out. He doesn't want the hope in the world to come out. So he uses the church people to say, shut that name down. Shut that name Jesus down. Shut it down. Shut it down. We're going to make threats. we're going to do that. But Peter said this, because Peter what? Is an awesome man? No, Peter is a man that's saved and full of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We give ourselves no glory. We give our glory to Jesus. Amen? Amen? And he says this. He said this. Peter and John answered him, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. Because they knew that they needed to listen to these guys. These guys were in a leadership position. But they said, now listen, you're telling us to do something that trumps. Listen, God trumps all laws. Even though we're supposed to live by the law of the land, if there comes a time when they say that we can't preach the name of Jesus, I'll probably be arrested. Because I'm preaching Jesus. Jesus saved my life. Not America. Jesus saved my life. Jesus has put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not a citizen here. I'm just passing through. I'm not a citizen here. You're not a citizen here. You're just living for a moment. Our citizenship is in heaven. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where I go. That's my home. That's my home. And they said, we can't. What are you talking about? And they said, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And this is where many of us stop. We get pressured by the world not to testify. We get pressured when, I'm just thinking something so basic, when you go out to eat, we get pressured by everybody looking. Look at that. We think that we know what they're thinking and what they're saying. We think that they're talking about us. But I want to tell you, in reality, there's people over here saying, oh my, maybe we should be doing that. Honey, why didn't we do that? Usually it's the woman looking at the man. You're the spiritual leader of the home. Why didn't we do that? And Peter and John says, we can't stop. We can't stop doing it. We can't stop doing this because we can't stop talking about Jesus. We just can't do it. We just can't stop talking about Jesus. You know what that is? That's a testimony about what Jesus has done for you. That is a testimony. Isn't that amazing? Is your testimony filled with yourself, or is your testimony filled with Jesus Christ? It should be filled with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you why we don't testify a lot. I'm going to turn over to Romans for a moment. This is the chapter that people don't want to read. I'm not jumping on homosexuality today or anything like that, but this is the chapter that if you're living a sinful lifestyle, this is the chapter that they refuse to read. Paul's writing to the people of Rome. And he says this awesome thing. He locked up. He'd been arrested for preaching. Let me tell you, wherever you are, God can use that as rocket power. He can use that as rocket power, whether you got a health issue, or you're in prison, or you've lost, you've taken several hits. God can use what's going on, the negativity in your world, the bad things that's happened to you, and those tragedies and all those terrible things. God can take it, and He can use it as rocket power. And Paul says this awesome piece. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What he's saying is, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. I'll stand here behind these bars. I am not ashamed of the name. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is power. It is God's power. It is God's power. God gave all authority. We see that through Matthew. God gave all authority to Jesus upon heaven and earth. God gave it to Jesus, that power. Here it is. So that whole piece there, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. But first for the Jew and also for the Greek. Praise God that he allowed Gentiles to get saved. Amen. For it is God's righteousness and is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written. The righteous will live by faith. Praise God. God has a system, and his system is right. His system is pure. It is unadulterated. It is holy. It is perfect. And he says, here, you can do it. You can't do it on your own. You got to get first. You got to get saved. And you get saved through the acknowledgement that you know that you're a sinner and that you've been left and you are here and that you are living in the world. The world is your prince. The world is your kingdom. But however, once you've been revealed and been opened to, I am a sinner. And I am a sinner. And I am lost. And I am guilty. And I found out that now that Jesus Christ, I step forward and receive that gift of salvation that God gives freely to us, but with the most expensive cost. It's free to us, but it wasn't free for Jesus. And we receive that. And by no means is God going to allow you to receive that salvation and then continue to live in a sinful lifestyle day after day after day. That's why He'll meet you at the cross. He paid the bill at the table. He paid the bill, but you're going to have a conversation at that table, and your part is, Lord, I just met you, and I'm a sinner, and you're going to plead that, and God's going to, and He's going to say, I love you. I've always loved you. I've sent my Son to die for you. If it was just you, I would have sent Him just for you. And He did it. But there's only one way to get past my table and into my kingdom. And you go through my Son, Jesus Christ. And you receive Jesus Christ in that moment. Let me tell you, Buddha can't do it. Where's he? He just made up. Hinduism can't do it. That was found under some tree. There's all kinds of beliefs out there. There's only one that gave his life. And he gave it up freely. And once you leave that table, you stand up out from that table, and you've now got a Father. You've got a Savior. You've been adopted into the family of God, a child of God. And as you grow, you begin to learn. As you grow in your baby steps, you get baptized, you start taking communion, you start growing up, and then all of a sudden now that you start growing in your walk with the Lord, and you take an opportunity, and you're sweating, and you feel like, oh man, why do I feel like I'm supposed to say Jesus to this person? Why am I supposed to testify? Maybe I'm supposed to share the gospel with this person. Listen, it is the Holy Spirit that has taught you from the table that you went to, is at that place where you met Christ at, and then all of a sudden He's using you, and now because Peter and John are not here anymore, is Bill and Tom or Sarah and Jane, it's us, and we need to be sharing the gospel. Praise God, right? Praise God. But if we can't say praise God, it's because we feel guilty because we're not doing it. People aren't getting saved because we're not evangelizing. And don't take that word as being difficult. It's just you telling your story on how Jesus saved your life. Very simple. And if you can't say it, I would doubt that you got saved. Jesus. Is that we, folks, we are in a time of grace. God's watching and looking. The name of Jesus is still saving. But there will come a time when that will be done. And the world will know it. And the Bible will say that they will run to the hills. And they'll ask God to pull the mountaintop on top of them, but they will still refuse to bow a knee to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be here for all that, because I told you before, the Bible says I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. So I'm right here during this time. And I need to be like Peter. And I need to be like John. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but because it is God's power, and it is only through His name that we are saved. And if I say I love God, then I need to be like God, and I need to love people. And if I love people, I need to let them know where they're going. I need to share it through love and compassion. So today, some of you are either you're saved and you're not sharing the gospel, or you're saved and you're a grump. Who wants to be around a grump? Who wants a church full of grumpy people? We need to be excited about the salvation that we have, and that it resonates into our neighborhoods, into our friends, and to our family. Some of us today are saved, and we are trying, and we're like, wait, nobody, it feels like every time I speak, it's bouncing off the walls. Nobody's listening. Listen, you keep doing it. Because what we're hearing in the Scriptures, let me tell you, we hear the awesome stories of Scriptures. We see the awesome testimonies of the disciples. Everything that these guys did cannot be put into the Bible. It would be too big. But they had their days. We see, God wants us to see these magnificent pieces and some of the setbacks. But there were a lot of setbacks. And there's some of us here today that thought, maybe after today, I may not think I'm saved. Listen, you can't, and if I ask you, hey, you got a relationship with Jesus Christ, are you saved? You know, that's becoming an old term. That's becoming an old term. That's not accepted in a lot of churches today. But I want to tell you, God's Word says He'll never changes. He's the same today as He was yesterday. Yesterday is the same today. God's Word don't change. And you may have thought, man, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, let me tell you, you better know. If you know anything in your life, if you know your right foot from your left foot, or you thought this was your right foot and that was your left foot, because I'm telling you, you go in the military, everybody's confused. This is your right hand. Even in basketball, listen, this is your right hand. You think you know your right hand from your left hand until you get into this. Listen, if you're not saved and you think you're not, you have any doubts, you need to take care of some personal business and you need to do it today. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't know. There's a great parable about a man who thought, tomorrow I'm going to start building the barn. And God said, that man's a fool. Tonight his life will be demanded. Woo! Who's in charge? Who's in charge? God said, that man's a fool. Tonight his life will be demanded. Listen, we need salvation. And if you got it, praise God you got it and get happy. And if you don't have joy, say, Lord, restore the joy that I have. I'm focusing on the things, and if you really look at it, it might be nitpicking. Because church is just messy. Real church is messy. Real church is messy. It ain't about coming in and coming in, and it is about seeing everybody. It ain't coming in and saying, oh, I just want to feel good today. I want to come in here and tell me how I'm doing great. I want everybody to say, hey, keep praying for that. That's going to work. Keep doing everything is good. Everything is good. No, a real church house is filled with messy people. We got people that, and I've spoken about this, we got people in our families that are drug using. We got children that have been taken into foster care. We got families here that have alcoholic parents or alcoholic members in there. We got people here that have family members in prison. We got people. And no, are you bringing that to the altar? Or are you just going to carry it? Bible says, cast all your burdens. We messed up because we allow ourselves to be messed up. We carry more than we're supposed to. Bible says, cast all your anxieties before Him because He cares for you. That means lay it down to Jesus. Lay it down to who? Jesus. If He saved you, He can help you and He can work through those problems that you're going through. But you got to do it His way. Can't go out and use, can't go out and do these things and expect God to bless you. It don't work that way. Listen, God don't bless a mess. He don't bless a mess. A mess just keeps getting messier and messier and messier. Now God could clean a mess up, but you got to let Him clean it up because we ain't very good about cleaning up our own lives. That's why we need saved. And once we get salvation, then we need to be changed. The Bible says a renewing of our mind, transforming of our mind, our body's a temple, all those things. This ain't no joke. It's a real deal. You go up the street, you want to hear all this big band music, and that's great, I love it. You want to go up there and hear something that's positive message for you, but listen, you want the real deal, you got to get in the Word of God. And you got to get in there and you got to cry sometimes. This hurts. This hurts. That verse hurts me. I'm struggling with that verse. My faith is being tested. It's a wrestling match because you don't belong here. It don't fit. You're a square hole trying to fit in a circle hole because you've been saved and the form of you have changed. And the church today is trying to change and conform to the world. And that's why denominations and churches are really messed up right now. And they're trying to conform to the world. Not conform to who? Jesus. It all comes back to the tower. The tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. His name is Jesus Christ. And these guys said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We can say, Jesus Christ of heaven. Let's get excited about being saved. Let's excite. Let's not lose our joy and our salvation. Let's be excited. This is a light that Satan continues to try to blow out. Of course, we're filled with a lot of problems, but that don't stop us, right? That don't stop us from living out our daily life with Jesus. That don't stop all of our problems. But it says, listen, a saved person, a person who knows Christ, can handle those problems way much better than a person who is lost. It is in the name of Jesus. If you're looking for a magic word to help you, if you're looking for some scripture to take you out of everything, if you're looking for some change in the church that now I feel better, you're never going to find it. Because there's no shortcuts. It is through the name of Jesus Christ that we find our healings. It is through the name of Jesus Christ where we learn the true teachings of God. It is through Jesus Christ where we have our sins forgiven. And every one of you are a sinner. It's a difference. Are you a lost sinner or are you a sinner saved by grace, by the name of Jesus Christ? It's through Jesus Christ that I can wake up every day, even as messed up as this world has, that I have peace. But my peace only comes through Jesus Christ. Don't get too relaxed. The devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And he don't like the meat of lost people. It don't taste good. He likes the meat, the sweet meat of believers. And if you're a believer and you're saved today, Satan loves to chew on believers. But if you know Jesus Christ, you can say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I'm going to experience it, I'm going to know it, I'm going to experience it. I know this, I can resist the devil, and he shall flee. I also know this, that I look up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. And I begin to rip off these scriptures, and the more scriptures you rip off, and the more you praise the name of Jesus Christ, that spiritual warfare goes away. And if it don't go away today, God's strengthening you, and it's going to go away tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's going to go away. But if you want to use the ways of the world, you're just a punching bag. You're a punching bag. So I don't know where you're standing today. I don't know where you're sitting in your relationship with God. But I'll tell you this, salvation is today. And if you're saved, you need to act like it. We need to act like it. And we need not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. But here's what I'll tell you in closing. Let's go ahead and stand. We have a hard time with a message like this. And the only reason we have a hard time for us that are believers, the only reason we have a hard time with a message like this is because we know the sin that's in our lives. And when sin is in our lives, we don't know what to do with that. And it gives us guilt and it gives us shame. So we draw away. We still love God. We're saved. But we're kind of unusable because we let the sin, it's like cancer. Until we confess it, we carry it. You want to know, I don't know why I don't have the joy that I used to have when I first got saved. You need to check your heart. Problems in your heart. It's not in the church. It's not in your pastor. It's not any. It's your heart. If you talk negative about the church and those things, listen, it's in your heart. The Bible says we're to be uplifting. For every negative word you say, you should say 10 encouraging words. We need to be more encouraged. So whatever it is today that you need to take care of, there's the best place to take care of it and the only place to take care of it. And you would think that I would say the altar, but we're using that today. But you need to stand and you need to take care of it with Jesus.